So, in the same way that we began by paying attention to the breath and focusing on the breath exclusively, and then we opened up the attention to include physical sensations that might become compelling. You know, maybe an itch, maybe a pain, you know, maybe warmth or cold. And when these compelling sensations arise in our meditation, we turn towards them. We make them the object of meditation. As Max said, you know, the practice really is about being here. It's really what's happening right now. And, you know, when it's really compelling itch going on and it's saying, you know, I really need you to do something about this, very, very strong, you know, we can ignore it or we can turn towards it and attend it and really notice the sensations of that itch until it fades. I haven't generally seen an itch last more than, you know, till the next day. So they do go away, you know, and so can we be with it and get to know it instead of hate it and push it away. And so in with that same quality of bringing curiosity to the physical sensations, we can do so to the emotional life we have. There's a lot of different emotions that come and go, and some of them are very strong. And some of them are kind of they're just a kind of a little irritation, it's gone. So if it's compelling, you know, it's like becomes the center, you know, it's like this is what's happening, then we make it the meditation object and attend it. Emotions are an essential part of being human. We all have them. But people have different emotional natures, you know. Some people like myself, you know, will cry at a beautiful painting. Some people, it really, you know, they just don't have a really quick trigger to their emotions. For some of us, we might be very emotional in our daily lives, but nothing ever shows up during meditation. And so we're all a little bit different that way. And so I'm going to give a little bit of instruction. And if it doesn't apply to your meditation, it might apply in your daily life. Emotions include some of the most wonderful things we can experience. It also includes some of the most terrible things we can experience, the most challenging things we can experience. And so we treat them both the same way. We're not trying to have one emotion or another. I mean, we'd all, if we had a could vote on it, we'd go, yeah, I want bliss. Let me have that one, you know. But really, the practice is about, you know, folding in what's happening in the moment. You know, it's not right, it's not wrong. This is what's up. This is what shows up. Sometimes as we get really calm, some deep-seated wounds begin to show up. You know, that's great. You know, they just, you know, we let it be. We give it attention. The word emotion means to move through. And, you know, one psychologist said that the typical strong emotion lasts 90 seconds. You know, that's a little bit shocking sometimes, you know, but and the reason we don't realize that often is because, like, let's say we get really angry and we actually allow ourselves to pay attention to this anger, this wave of anger that rises and falls, and it's actually gone. But what normally happens is we re-trigger with a story. We remember what got us angry to begin with, and then it starts all over again. And we can sustain that state of very a lot of stress, actually. It's hard on the body to be angry for sustained periods of time. But we could do it for quite a while, you know, by telling ourselves a story, building on the story, sharing the story. So, you know, this is a really wonderful skill for daily life, for really working with the challenging emotions in a, you know, in a very skillful way. And with the you know, the wonderful emotions too. Like for me, I spent one retreat torturing myself because I had the retreat started, and very early in the retreat, I got into this very, very wonderful, blissful, happy, wonderful state. And then I wanted it. And I was so caught in wanting it and never really noticed that wanting is a hindrance and it keeps you from being present. But I just wanted it. And I was, this was like, day after day, I was just so tight wanting this and trying to get it and working so hard. And until finally I saw what I was doing and was able to relax, But so the really wonderful states can be very, can really catch you also. You can get very caught in craving them and trying to hold on to them. Couple of other things I want to say, and another thing to notice about strong emotions is that they have like two basic components. One of them is the physical effect. So you can't get angry without your heartbeat, increasing, without certain hormones being, in your system. Some of us, get very tight in the hands or the jaws or the different places. Even being really happy, your heartbeat's up, supposedly there's been people who've died from happiness, which is like, it's an unusual medical thing, so our bodies have a response, and that's really important to know, because that's really the key to working with the challenging emotions. The other aspect of it is the mental flavor of the emotion. Now, how do you know the difference, for instance, between fear and anger? Everybody know the difference, right? But what is it that tells you it's different? It's like in the mind, kind of, there's something that feels very different in the mind. That's like a flavor of an emotion. That's you can't kind of pin it down, but you know what it is. You know that difference. And the reason that's important is because the flavor of the of an emotion can end, but the physical reaction, because of all the hormones, can still be happening. And where it becomes really noticeable is if we're afraid. And it can be a fear of something that's actually real out there, the tiger's out to get you. Or it can be an internal fear of losing control of or of the future or different things. And I think the best example is, if you've ever been like an almost car accident, where but you get the brakes in time and everything's okay. Here you are, you get really scared. You've got a flood of hormones in your system, adrenaline, cortisol, all these hormones, and your eyes get big, your muscles get full of blood, so you can, fight or flight, and your heart's beating fast. You actually get a little smarter, a little sharper to react. Your reactions time get quicker. And and then it's gone, the danger's gone, And so you go, oh, great. But your heart's still beating really fast. You might still be shaking. So the physical part of the fear is still there, but the mental part has gone away. The reason that's important is because sometimes people don't recognize that, and they feel they're, because your body's still scared, that there's something to be scared of, and they kind of begin to trigger their own fear, because they get afraid of their fear. And that's what sometimes can create like a panic reaction. So when so sometimes when something arises in meditation that scares you and you're not clear about it, you can get scared of being afraid. So it's really important to just go to the body. Oh, attend the body. This is all that it is. It's the body, and you just go to the body. You stay with the sensations of fear in the body. The other thing I want to say about fear is that when fear arises in meditation, it can be really helpful for some of us to not att to say, I can attend it for a short period, and that's good enough for me. I'm going to back away. I'll go back to the breath. So honor that. If an emotion feels too big, same thing with grief. Sometimes you touch upon grief. And oh, it's time to back away a little bit right now. That's a little much. Let me just go back to the breath, calm myself, You know, these things come back as you need them to come back. And you can just very gradually, once you've done it once, next time you can do it a little bit longer, a little longer. And you can get yourself much more accustomed to it. It becomes easier. So I want to say just kind of a little bit of an extension of my talk last night. You know, there's I used to call it the RAIN formula, but I'm now kind of aligning myself with the way Gil does it, which is he calls it the RAFT formula. So those of you who know the RAIN formula, it's not much different. when strong emotions arise, sometimes we have a hard time, you know, wrapping, just getting hold of it and knowing how to work with it. You know, we're kind of very lost. We're, you know, overwhelmed sometimes. And so having the formula kind of helps us know where to begin. And once you know where to begin, it just begins to become easier and easier to attend it. And so I'll go through it once right now. And then when I'll guide the beginning of the meditation, I'll go through it again then. But the first part of the formula of RAFT is to recognize what the emotion is. Now, if you don't recognize it, just call it difficult emotion, you know, or pleasant emotion. It's good enough, you know, but the fact that you've named it, you know it's an emotion, you know, or maybe it's anger or fear or irritation or, you know, just name it. The second piece is, like yesterday I mentioned, is to accept it. It's okay that it's here. Some of us feel ashamed of certain emotions. You know, for me, I resisted believing I had any envy in me. You know, no, I'm not a person who's envious ever. Mm-mm. You know, and so when it arose, I didn't want to see it, you know. So accepting that it's there, it allowed me to really lighten up about it, you know. Embarrassment's another one I was too embarrassed to experience. you know, so accepting or human emotions or frailties or this whole part of our experience. And then the the RAFT, I've been doing that for many years, is to feel it, which is the same thing, feel it in the body. And always with anything really difficult, if you just go to the body, it grounds you. You can really begin to explore what this emotion is like in the body. And then the last part, the T, is to tease it apart. So you might notice, oh, this is the mental aspect, this is the physical aspect, or this is a story I'm telling myself about it. So that's pretty much what tease it apart is, you know, because sometimes it's all mixed in. You've got the story and the strong emotion. It's all mushed together. So you kind of disentangle it. In practical use of the RAFT formula is that very often you recognize that it's gone, or you recognize and accept that it's gone. Don't chase it. It's gone. That's all needed. Or you feel in the body and it's gone. But sometimes, you know, something gets really complicated there. And, you know, so you take the time to tease it apart. And if you're in the middle of teasing it apart and it's gone, don't try to finish it. You know, just go back to the breath. And the other really beautiful thing about the practice, whenever you're confused, go back to the breath. It's fine. You don't have to get clear, you know. You don't have to get any of this, understand it or get it clear. It's really about showing up for what's happening. And what's happening in that moment, oh, I'm confused. Okay, I'm confused. This confusion feels like back to the breath. So let's do a sitting, and I'll guide the first part of it and get a comfortable position. Take a relaxed but alert posture. Gently close your eyes. Taking a couple of deep breaths. With each breath, settling a little bit more, relaxing a little bit more. Allowing the breath to return to normal. Get a general sense of how your body feels right now. Relax any obvious tensions. Relax your belly. Let it be soft. Your shoulders, whatever needs attention. If anything doesn't relax, that's okay. Just soften around it. Then notice your general emotional state. Might be that you're calm, impatient, could be a million emotions. Whatever's there. And then shift your attention back to the breath, to your home base, and let your attention rest there. And for these first 5 minutes, try to stay on the breath if you can. Don't open up the attention yet. Just try to stay the first little bit and right into the breath. Try to notice the full length of the breath, massaging it with your attention. keeping the breath in the foreground. Widen your attention to include any strong body sensations or any emotions that arise. If any compelling sensations or emotions arise, turn your attention to it without judgment. It belongs. And when it's no longer compelling, gently return to the breath. If a compelling emotion arises, recognize it. Accept it. Feel the sensations in your body. And if needed, tease it apart. Notice the difference between the physical sensations, the mental flavor, or the story. And let go of the story. When it's no longer compelling, return to the breath. If you're ever confused, return to the breath. It's always appropriate to return to the breath. You don't have to worry. Any repressed emotions will show up again. If nothing compelling arises, no need to search for it. Just rest on the breath.